Harper Audio presents In the Dark Room by Susan Faludi, read by Laurel Lefkoe. He thought about how he had been despised and scorned, and he heard everybody saying now that he was the most beautiful of all the beautiful birds, and the lilacs bowed their branches toward him right down into the water. The sun shone so warm and so bright. Then he ruffled his feathers, raised his slender neck, and rejoiced from the depths of his heart. "I never dreamed of such happiness when I was an ugly duckling." Hans Christian Andersen, The Ugly Duckling. The identifying of ourselves with the visual image of ourselves has become an instinct. The habit is already old. The picture of me, the me that is seen, is me. D.H. Lawrence, Art and Morality. Long ago, there was a strange deception, a wolf dressed in frills, a kind of transvestite, but I get ahead of my story. Anne Sexton, Red Riding Hood. In the Dark Room. Preface. In Pursuit. In the summer of 2004, I set out to investigate someone I scarcely knew, my father. The project began with a grievance, the grievance of a daughter whose parent had absconded from her life. I was in pursuit of a scofflaw, an artful dodger who had skipped out on so many things, obligation, affection, culpability, contrition. I was preparing an indictment, amassing discovery for a trial, but somewhere along the line, the prosecutor became a witness. What I was witness to would remain elusive. In the course of a lifetime, my father had pulled off so many reinventions, laid claim to so many identities. "I'm a Hungarian," my father boasted in the accent that survived all the shapeshifts. "I know how to fake things." If only it were that simple. "Write my story," my father asked me in 2004, or rather, dared me. The intent of the invitation was murky. "It could be like Hans Christian Andersen," my father said to me once later of our biographical undertaking. "When Andersen wrote a fairy tale, everything he put in was real, but he surrounded it with fantasy." Not my style. Nevertheless, I took up the dare with a vengeance and with my own purposes in mind. Despite the overture, my father remained a refractory subject. Most of the time, our collaboration resembled a game of cat and mouse, a game the mouse generally won. My father, like that other Hungarian, Houdini, was a master of the breakout. For my part, I kept up the chase. I had cast myself as a posse of one, tracking my father's many selves to their secret recesses. I was intent on writing a book about my father. It wasn't until the summer of 2015, after I'd worked my way through many drafts and submitted the manuscript, and after my father had died, that I realized how much I'd also been writing it for my father, who, in my mind at least, had become my primary imagined and intended reader, with all the generosity and hostility that implies. It wasn't an uncomplicated gift. "There are things in here that will be hard for you to take," I warned in the fall of 2014, when I called to announce that I had a completed draft. I braced myself for the response. My father, who had made a career in commercial photography out of altering images and devoted a lifetime to self-alteration, would hate, I assumed, being depicted, warts and all. "Well," I heard after a silence, "I'm glad. You know more about my life than I do." For once, my father seemed pleased to be captured, if only on the page. Part 1. Chapter 1. Returns and Departures. One afternoon, I was working in my study at home in Portland, Oregon, boxing up notes from a previous writing endeavor, a book about masculinity. On the wall in front of me hung a framed black-and-white photograph I'd recently purchased of an ex-GI named Malcolm Hartwell. The photo had been part of an exhibit on
Sample complete. Ready to continue?